Welcome to Mind Witchery. I'm your host, Natalie Miller, and I'm so glad you're here. Well, hi. It has been almost an entire year since I sat down to create an episode of Mind Witchery. And that is in largest measure because I never, ever, ever wanted this creation, this body of work to ever have more should than want in it. You know, I've always wanted it to be something that you could feel my integrity in, something that you could feel my desire in, something that you could feel my, like, my wholeness in. And over the last year, I, and I know lots of you, have been in a place where pieces have fallen apart and not quite come back together. And in many ways, that has been such a wonderful thing, and maybe will be the topic of a forthcoming episode or 20. But I'm here today because an idea visited me a couple weeks ago, and she's not going anywhere. She keeps this idea flitting around in my head. It keeps, like, landing. I'm getting butterfly vibes, you know? It keeps, like, at first I was like, oh, that's, like, it's so lovely. Thanks for coming. Bye. But this butterfly is staying with me. This butterfly keeps landing. I'll be reading something and it will land on the page. I'm driving somewhere and it lands on my shoulder. She won't leave me. And so I'm wondering if she might like to fly to you. So here's the basic of it. I was reading John O'Donohue in Walking with Wonder. I think it's Walking in Wonder. And Walking in Wonder is this text that an interlocutor is sort of transcribing conversation that he'd had with John O'Donohue. And who is John O'Donohue? John O'Donohue was sort of like a modern day philosopher, mystic, Celtic theologian, and poet. Just a man who worked magic, miracles with words and ideas. And John O'Donohue's words have visited me many times over the last, 20 years. And I don't know what it was that compelled me to place a library hold for Walking in Wonder and wait for it and then grab it and start reading. But as I was reading, here is the butterfly that landed on the page. The difference between walking in or living with through wonder and walking in, living with, living through worry. So basically, the difference between worry and wonder. Because, like, both are ways of being with the absolute uncertainty of life on planet Earth in this solar system, galaxy, universe, right? Like, we really don't ever fully get it. We don't ever fully, completely know what is happening, what has happened, and certainly not what will happen. And that is just that kind of radical uncertainty at the core of life is something that we have to contend with. And it's fucking hard. It sucks in a lot of ways to have to live with radical uncertainty, especially in volatile moments like the one we are currently living through. I know that I can get locked up in worry more easily these days, more readily these days. I listen to a lot of people talking about politics. It is a way that I have found to be present with what is happening. And I want to recognize it's kind of present by association, but I can, listening to people talking about politics, smart people, people with interesting perspectives, listening to people talk about politics it helps me to be with what is happening. And something I've noticed lately is often an interviewer will ask their like interviewee, how concerned are you about this? Should we be worried about this? What's your level of alarm about this? You know, things that are happening in the United States and by extension in the world. And again, the interviewee, the guest, will respond with, I'm very concerned. I'm very alarmed. Yes, this is something we should worry about. So often that for me, a numbness sets in, or when I put the issue at hand, when I file it into very concerning, very alarming, it's like that file is so over full. There's simply not enough worry or alarm ever to go around. Yeah. And so on the one hand, I feel like I have been in worry a lot. And on the other hand, it's almost like worry, which has never been helpful and has never been particularly efficacious, right? Worry doesn't really do much. But in this moment, worry is more impotent than ever. So, don't know about you, but for me, worry tends to be especially a nighttime visitor. Worry likes to come around in the evenings. Worry likes to come around at bedtime. And so a few weeks ago, after a particularly worried night, I woke up in the morning determined to have a a good start to the day, an intentional start to the day. And I picked up walking in wonder. And I found, I think, an alternative to the worry that had consumed me the night before. And let's face it, the night before that, the night before that, and the months before that. So much worry. But I found an alternative, and that alternative is wonder. What do you know? The book Walking in Wonder talks about wonder a lot, and turns out that wonder might very well be a great way to contend with the uncertainty, the radical uncertainty of living, and especially of living now. Wonder instead of worry. Okay, so here's what I read that morning of intentionality. Like really early in the book, page 6, I read, "One of the most exciting and energetic forms of thought is the question. I always think that the question is like a lantern. It illuminates new landscapes and new areas as it moves. Therefore, the question always assumes that there are many different dimensions to a thought that you are either blind to or that are not available to you. So a question is really one of the forms in which wonder expresses itself." I fucking love a question. If you are a Mind Witchery listener, you know that a lot of times what I want to do is offer a good question to ask in, you know, in any moment, in a moment of insecurity, in a moment of unhappiness, in a moment of stuckness. Like, I think a question is like a lantern. I think a question is a way to spark wonder. And reading that passage, I realized, wow, when I worry, I'm really asking in a fearful way, oh my God, what's gonna happen? Oh fuck, what is gonna happen? For me, worry asks the same fucking question over and over. What's gonna happen? Oh God. And then what's gonna happen? And then what's she gonna say? And then what's he gonna do? It's all a version of how bad is this going to get? And you know, your girl loves etymology. And so I went to look at the etymology for worry. Oh my gosh, do you know what it comes down to? To strangle. To strangle. Doesn't that feel correct? Worry at its root in language means to strangle. And then it evolves a little bit and it becomes to harass. And then it evolves a little bit and it becomes this more like exclusively psychological experience. In asking the same basic question over and over with the same openness, really only to negative possibility, right? Like if the question, what's going to happen? How bad is it going to get, right? If those questions were lanterns, they would A, be pretty weak, and B, only be shining in one direction. Oh my God, what's going to happen? How bad is it going to get? is such a dim light at the mouth of a cave of doom. So to be clear, I'm not advocating for turning away from the cave of doom. Exploring the cave of doom from a place of wonder is very, very different from worrying. Because worrying isn't an exploration at all. So that thought butterfly that kept asking me to put this into words kept saying, okay, the difference between worry and wonder. And I thought, well, worry is contracting into like a worst case scenario. Worry is kind of funneling possibilities down into the worst case scenario. And wonder is opening possibilities up, or maybe more accurately, wonder is acknowledging a much truer truth, which is that there are so many possibilities. Everything is always changing. We never know what's going to happen next. And wonder lifts our gaze. This is where I wish I were on YouTube right now. I can't be doing video. It's just, it's not my medium. But I have like chin lifted. I'm looking up at the ceiling in this room and looking around, sort of asking, oh my gosh, like, what could happen? Right? Like, kind of the same question, what's going to happen, but from a very different perspective and tone and with a very different aim, I think, right? The question of worry is like, again, it's that funneling, that sinking down into like the very worst thing that could possibly happen. If I am, you know, in a very banal way, I'm worrying about my kid who is walking home from her babysitting job. Worrying about it is funneling it down, 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 down into the worst case scenario, which I shan't even utter here because it is an improbably horrific worst case scenario, right? That's where worry goes. And that's the only place worry goes, in my experience. Wonder, though, chin lifted, looking around, is genuinely asking, what's going to happen? What could happen? And wonder is honoring that there are possibilities all around us, not just down, down, down at the in the depths of the cave of doom, but everywhere. And yes, of course, I went to check the etymology of wonder also. And seems for a long time a wonder was it's the noun of it, right? It's a wonder, it's a marvel, it's an astonishment. And wonder as a verb, therefore, is like to marvel, to be amazed, to feel curiosity. And that right there, I believe, is the difference between worry and wonder. Wonder is so much more curious, genuinely curious, looking up and around and under and over, eyes wide open, not only to what is, but also to what could be. So O'Donohue says in Walking in Wonder, One of the lovely things a person can do for another person is to awaken the power and sacrament of their imagination. Because when you awaken someone's imagination, you are giving them a new world. Okay, full disclosure, he actually says you are giving them a new kingdom, comma, a new world, but I can't with the kingdoms. So I used my editorial discretion and I excised that part. Still, what I hear in there is that when we are able to wonder, we are able to be curious not only about what is, but also about what we want, what we could make, how we could proceed. We get creative. And so wonder, being open and curious and creative, it is so much more empowering. It could go in so many more directions. Today is another election day. It is election 2025, and one of the elections happening today is the mayoral race in New York City, where an improbable candidate, a really, to me and to many, exciting candidate, Zohran Mamdani, is almost definitely going to knock this election out of the park. And he is new and different and communicates differently and has huge aspirations and so many ideas. He is different. It's new. And the whole thing, the candidacy, the platform, it feels infused with wonder. With what's going to happen next? What could happen? What could we make together? How could we proceed? How good could it get? And it's such a relief. It's such a breath of fresh air. And let me tell you, the worry machine is already hard at work on Zohran and his chances once he becomes mayor. And listen, I don't in any way mean to say, oh, it's, don't worry, it's going to be a walk in the park. No, it won't be a walk in the park, but I don't want to approach this moment of wonder with worry. I don't want to close it down and to look down and to start funneling everything into the deep, deep doom. I want to stay head up, eyes open, looking around, curious about what could happen. So that is a political example that is very on my mind today on election day in New York City. And slash but, of course, you can take the same idea of alchemizing worry into wonder into any place that you have been particularly worried of late. Yeah? So again, what the little thought butterfly that kept visiting me wanted me to share. Oh, it really is how it felt. Is this. Yes, nothing is certain. Nothing is promised. We have no idea what's going to happen next. We live in radical uncertainty, and we can respond to that with worry, with the whittling down of possibilities into the worst scenarios, or we can respond with wonder, which is full of curiosity and openness and expansiveness. Yeah, I think worry kind of contracts in, right? It's the strangling, and wonder is the marvel, the astonishment, the amazement, the wide opening. You could think of a place where you have been worrying. And I think maybe the first thing to do as you're thinking about this place where you have been worrying is to just take a moment and say, it makes complete and total sense that we've been worried about this. Like, A, uncertainty is really challenging. B, the overculture, the dominant culture is very into worrying. I'm sure there are many examples of humans in your life who have shown you how to worry. And then there are all the like evolutionary reasons that we might worry too. Yeah. So worry, we come by it honestly. It makes complete and total sense. And at least for me, maybe also for you, it's not really helpful. It doesn't alleviate the fear that can come with facing the unknown. It exacerbates the fear. It condenses the fear, empowers the fear, it feeds the fear. So just like a moment of self-love, self-compassion makes total sense that we have been worrying. And also, this worrying has been hard on us. This worrying has been painful. And maybe, just maybe, there could be another way to be with this uncertainty. And this other way of being with the uncertainty is to wonder. So maybe a first question to take the worry lantern and turn it into a wonder lantern is to ask, instead of, oh my God, what's going to happen? To ask, well, what all could happen? And just to begin to look up from the strangling funnel, up and out into the various possibilities, you know, some of which won't be desirable at all, but others of which might be. And then once our heads are up and out, we could begin to ask questions that spark and fuel curiosity. And oh my gosh, there are so many of these. And your therapist, your coach, your wonderfully inquisitive friend is going to have even better questions than I'm offering here. But some questions that I love to ask that spark curiosity are, well, what is most important in this moment? Like, what is most important to me? What is most important to my community? What is most important in this moment? And how can I shore that up? What is it that I could do or believe, or who is it that I could talk to or partner with? Like, what are the ways in which I can give a little more energy and resource to that which is most important? I think another great question to ask is, what is becoming clearer? What can I see now that I couldn't see before? And I love that little set of questions because it reminds us that the way we see things can always shift and change. a question kind of along these lines or in this vein is, what is surprising in this moment? What is surprising? Because surprise, I think, invokes and evokes that kind of amazement. And then another favorite question of mine, this is from my longtime therapist, Gwen, who taught me when I was in a shitty interpersonal situation that I really would rather have not been in, right? There was no way out of the interpersonal situation. The interpersonal situation was as it was. And she asked me this question. Well, who do you want to be? Given that this is what it is, who do you want to be? And I might add, how do you want to be? Sometimes I'll ask, okay, so what are you bringing to the energetic potluck in this moment? Right? We've got all kinds of people bringing all kinds of contributions in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our political discourse, in our classrooms, in our households, in our own heads and hearts. Okay, what do you want to bring to the energetic potluck? What is your contribution? And those questions, who do you want to be? How do you want to be? What is the vibe that you are bringing? Those questions remind us that we do exist at choice. So does everyone else. We don't get to choose everything that happens, but we do get to choose how we want to show up and respond. And then one more question along those lines that just came to me is something like this. It's like, how or where can I access love? How, where, with whom do I get to interface with love, love and care? There are all of these oases, all of these nexuses of love and care. How can I access one of those? One way that my daughter and I are doing that is we are collecting donations in our neighborhood for a local food bank. We do it every other month. We go around to like 35 houses in our neighborhoods and we gather up like 40-something bags of groceries and we deliver them to a local food pantry. And when I do that, I make what feels like a fairly small material difference. I don't want to undermine or the importance of, 45 bags of groceries. But at the same time, the energetic difference is huge. There is the love and care that I feel as we gather the donations from the neighbors. My daughter will hop out of the car, she'll run and get the bag, and then she'll give me a little report and appreciation of the bag's contents. So she'll say, "Oh, Mom, this bag was busting," or, "Oh my gosh, they put chocolate and cookies in. I love that. Everybody needs chocolate and cookies." Or she'll say, "Okay, this bag only had peanut butter, but But peanut butter is the most requested item, right? And so it's always appreciative, and that feels great. So I get the energetic boost of, okay, I'm doing something. I get the energetic boost of, I'm doing something along with my daughter. I get the energetic boost of, I'm doing something that involves 35 of my neighbors. I get the energetic boost of unloading all of the groceries at the care center and watching as all of the collections like literally pile up. And I'm sharing this with you because that endeavor is directly a result of me asking some of those wonder questions. Me asking myself, okay, who do I want to be in this moment? I want to be a helper. Okay, what is most important? Well, I need this to be fairly easeful because I don't have huge energy resources lately. What is most important? Oh gosh, I do want to involve my kids in this moment in history. What else is important? Being a good neighbor in an area of the country where there is vast wealth disparity. What is most important? Making it easier for other people to do something in a moment where so many people feel scared and overwhelmed and even paralyzed with fear. Like, all of those things are important. And so what could I do to be that person and to contribute those things to the potluck over here in Silver Spring, Maryland? And again, this example, it's a small thing in an enormous moment. Ugh, to be very frank with you, I have more than once buried my head in my partner's chest and said, ugh, I just like this isn't enough. And he has done me the great and beautiful favor of helping me to lift my chin, look up and see the endeavor in another way, to see the endeavor as something that ripples out and to see the endeavor as a hell of a lot more than nothing. And that assistance in changing my perspective, right? That finger under my chin lifting my gaze up and around and helping me to see differently, that tiny action, that shift in perspective is a huge contribution to seeing myself and my capability and my role in this moment and the moment in and of itself, to see it all differently. John O'Donohue says, "When our eyes are graced with wonder, the world reveals its wonders to us. So much depends on how we look at things. The quality of our looking determines what we come to see." That was a reminder that I really needed. You know, the man who said one of the lovely things a person can do for another person is to awaken the power of their imagination. That was a lovely thing John O'Donohue did for me. And I came back here, back to this channel, back to Mind Witchery, hoping that maybe I could do the same for you. How do we alchemize worry into wonder? Well, we look up. We look up from the cave of doom. We look around for ways we can connect. We look to our values. We open up to possibility. We feed and fuel our creativity. We alchemize worry into wonder by asking good questions, better questions. And like maybe most simply, most basically, and what I mean by basic, it's not like I don't mean to make it diminutive. I mean to make it like the foundation, right? Maybe most foundationally, as we are looking up and around, we are connecting with, we are moving toward what is pleasing, what is beautiful, what is good about this world, about this life. We are remembering, repopulating our existence, not with all of the problems and all of the deficiencies and all of the fear, even though that's still there. Walking in wonder, alchemizing worry into wonder, asks us to be resourceful, and therefore it's really great to connect with your resources. And I would say that your resources are everything that fuels you. The show you're streaming, the pumpkin muffin recipe you are cooking again and again, the walk in the woods that is changing colors, the sparkly eyeshadow that catches the light when you look in the mirror, the song you are playing on repeat in the shower, the warmth of your pet's belly, all of it, including perhaps John O'Donohue's writing. Super recommend Walking in Wonder, but Anamkara is also amazing. Also, you could Google and find any number of things he's written. So beautiful. Also, maybe Mind Witchery. I know I haven't been here in a while, but there's a pretty hearty archive. And I hope that more of these thought butterflies visit me. I hope that it feels really good to record again soon. This felt really good today. Okay, I wanted to end with just a few more words from John O'Donohue. He says, "Blessed be the longing that brought you here." And I'm inserting, "Blessed be the longing that got you to press play on this episode. Blessed be the longing that got you to open up this app where you listen to music and ideas and arguments, whatever it is that you listen to. Blessed be your longing for more, for better, for different. Blessed be the longing that brought you here and quickens your soul with wonder. Thank you so much for listening. I was so glad to pop in today. Till next time.